With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The 11 to 1 show.
L-L-M-F-M. I don't want to say this too loudly in case I scare it off, but it looks as if summer has officially arrived. Yeah, the good weather, it's here to stay. Fantastic news.
There's Cher. If I could turn back time, look, at I had a whole plan here this morning on the programme and it's been scuppered. The plan has been scuppered. I was told to go directly into a song because there's something happening behind the scenes here, and lots of people who are messaging in are obviously in on this because Chris Murray let the cat out of the bag this morning and told everyone that it's my birthday today. So it is my birthday. And I've been told to go straight into a song because there's something happening in the kitchen. I'll report back after the chorus. There's the chorus. Run away. I can't run away from it. I am a year older. And, you know, I'm actually grand about it. 39 today. Nearly the big 40. And I'm trying to think back to when I turned 30 and I kind of freaked out. Turning 30, like, I mean, think about it. I freaked out turning 30. I'm actually grand about it, turning 40 next year. Yeah. But still a baby. I'm still a baby, 39 today. Thank you so much for all the messages. The cake was absolutely delicious. I completely stuffed it into my face. I really did. Now, I was whispering earlier on, because I don't want to, you know, scare off the nice weather. And hope you did enjoy the fantastic weather at the weekend. And it looks as if it's set to stay because Met Éireann, they are forecasting highs of 24 degrees for the week ahead. So with no rain expected just yet. Maybe like we don't mind a smattering now. A little smattering and then back to the sun. And it just puts you in good form, doesn't it? And I have to say, I did make the most of it at the weekend. Spent the majority of the yesterday afternoon in the M1 retail park. Yeah, I know. Look, it's one of those things. A trip to Smith's, right, with young children is never simple, particularly when that child has a rake of vouchers that he wants to spend. You know, lots of decisions had to be pondered over as the sun was blazing outside. You know, will I pick the ridiculous foam boomerang that is guaranteed never to return? Or will it be the oversized bubble sword that will spill as soon as it's opened? I mean, decisions that were pondered over. You know what I think as well? Children should never be left to their own devices when it comes to buying a toy, because they're going to pick something, right, that is going to be broken in about like 5 minutes. I guarantee it. Or lost, you know, or a bit's going to fall off it or something like that. Although when I don't know what it is about, you know, like the sort of silly section of the toy shop, right? They're normally around the till as well. Oh, yeah. They get you at the till for another ridiculous thing to buy as you go out the door. But I can understand the appeal as a child. You know, like all the sort of silly things, like, so spinning gadgets that don't do anything, like yo-yos were sometimes in that mix as well. Bubbles, that kind of stuff. All there littered. And they're all really, you know, brightly coloured, all that sort of stuff. And we was there pondering over this stuff yesterday, and it did bring me back because bubbles, playing with bubbles was a favourite toy of mine. And I always associate the little coloured bottles with my childhood. And I used to always get them down the market in Drogheda of a Saturday morning. Bubbles.
Oh, listen. And then, of course, you'd spend the whole afternoon, you know, blowing them away. And then you'd try and emulate the bubble mixture with your own water and fairy liquid, and it didn't work. It was either too sudsy or not enough suds. It was disaster. But that's what it reminded me of yesterday as I was watching him. And of course, he went for the boomerang and the bubble sword, because look at, why not? If you have vouchers and they're there to be spent, what, you know, what else would you be spending them on? Only nonsensical things. Speaking of nonsensical things, there's a certain TV show that is back in our life. There's lots of buzz about it this morning. I'm going to tell you all the details of the cast and when it's on and all the rest right after these.
L-M-F-M. The 11 to 1 show.
It's back, and you only have a few days left now before it's just going to be flooded with, you know, your social media is going to be flooded with it. Your TV is going to be talking about it constantly. It's going to be reported here. It's going to be reported in newspapers as well. Yeah, it's inevitable. You're just going to have to go. Look, go with it. Go with it. I've learned long ago that when it comes to this show, you're just better off going with it, right? And just sort of embracing it. I am talking about Love Island. The cast has been revealed, and I can tell you exclusively this morning, lots of information about them, right? Okay, they're all blonde, they're all super toned, they're all in their 20s. Oh, and yeah, they're all tanned. That's literally all you have to know about the new cast, right? But fans of this series, right, you're going to be given the chance to vote for which contestants will be paired up before the season of the summer season even launches. Yeah. So you're going to be given the power to choose who's coupled up in the first episode. So host Maya Jama told Good Morning Britain this morning about this surprise. So she says, as soon as you see them, it's a big decision to make. So the contestants have made their own decisions on who to couple up with, but the public will be given the power to decide, so they can forget about, you know, their own decisions with regards to this. So she says, you know, we can kind of make notes, start jotting down who you think should be together, and then when it starts, off you go. So voting opens Thursday morning at 8 a.m. on the Love Island app, and then closes Friday at 9. Okay, so we can get to, we have the power. And then of course it returns to our screens on June the 5th. Look, it'll be on here and there in my house. We're not huge fans of this, but I do kind of get swept up in some of the scandal and drama that goes on with it. I'm only human after all. But I won't be sort of setting my video, you know, timer or whatever, TV timer, to be watching it. But it will be everywhere. So my, and you know, if you're in an office that, you know, have fans with Love, you know, that have Love Island fans in it, look, just embrace it. Just start watching it, because you're just going to be left out of conversations at lunchtime and at coffee breaks and stuff, you know. So yeah, June the 5th, but you can vote in advance. Love Island app, Thursday morning at 8 a.m.
Counting days.
Lewis Capaldi with Bruises. That's the song that they'll be playing, you know, when the couples break up in Love Island. Alfie said, I just ruined his day talking about it. I'm so sorry, Alfie. I apologise. I will warn you in advance when there is any Love Island talk. I actually think it would be great if somebody like Alfie, who just, you know, detests the idea of this sort of a programme being on, would actually just watch it and give a bit of a critique for us on the show. I think that would be great. I think that would be great. Because, you know, Jerry Kelly was sort of rolling his eyes at Love Island, and he started watching it kind of as an experiment last year, and the man is addicted. He is addicted to it now. So he'll definitely be chatting about it. Now, if Love Island isn't your speed now, this is something much nicer than Love Island. Community historian Brendan Matthews, he is back in action for the summer, and these are always really, really enjoyable. He's going to be leading the second in his series for the Walk and Talk History and Heritage Tour. And it's starting on Wednesday evening, so this coming Wednesday, May 31st. And it starts off 7:30 p.m. at St. Peter's Hill at the top of Peter Street. So he's going to be there talking about the immediate area there, then moving on to the Tulsa. And that was obviously the scene of a number of executions in the 18th century. Then they're going to move on then to the Augustinian Chapel. Very intriguing history there. And then on and on anyway, over to Morality Street. There's going to be lots there to discuss and explore. Brendan is brilliant. He, you know, devotes so much of his time to uncovering these brilliant histories and often really intriguing stories around the area. He doesn't charge for doing this, but he does accept some donations to continue the research and study. So it's going to be on Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. St. Peter's Hill. That's where it begins, there on the top of Peter Street. There's Wham, I'm Your Man on LMFM's 11 to 1. Now, this week, the Bord Bia Bloom returns from the 1st of June to the 5th, and the National Dairy Council is delighted they are presenting a show garden at the event again this year. We're going to be finding out more about this with Cathy Curran. We're going to meet her next. Oh,
LMFM. The 11 to 1 show.
Ireland's largest garden festival returns this week as Bord Bia Bloom gets underway from the 1st to the 5th, and the National Dairy Council is delighted they are presenting a show garden again at the event this year, featuring a number of exciting talks and discussions from Ireland's top sports stars, broadcasters, futurists and scientists. This year's garden pays particular attention to the crucial role climate plays in the quality and sustainability of farming. Joining me now to tell us more is Cathy Curran. She's Communications Manager from the National Dairy Council of Ireland. Cathy, you're very welcome. How are you getting on?
Good, good. It's all go, Sinead.
Oh, busy week. Busy week, absolutely.
Busy week, yeah.
Now, it's always such a great event every year, but why did the National Dairy Council decide to get involved in the festival?
Yeah, I think, look, for us, it's just a really good fit for what we're trying to do, which is really to get the farmer voice out to the urban community. And Bloom, as you probably can imagine, is a large consumer gathering of about 110,000 people over 5 days. Largely urban, so it gives us an opportunity to get the sustainable dairy production message across to an urban consumer in a really exciting and kind of conceptual way. So this year our garden very much focuses on climate and weather, mm-hmm. and how Ireland's largely very wet climate actually really helps with dairy production and makes us a unique country in the world for producing probably the best dairy produce globally. So it pays homage to the Irish climate and honours the role that, you know, climate plays in quality and sustainable farming business. The centrepiece of the garden is quite a wild kind of front garden with native Irish planting. And then there's a large installation built in the kind of back of the garden with transparent reflective boxes representing a sculptural ode to the clouds and a metaphor for modern farming. So it's quite conceptual.
There's a lot going on there. And I love that idea. Yeah, I love that idea of this huge installation in the centre, like as you say there, representing clouds. And you worked with a really interesting company with regards to this.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a company called Good Plastic Company, which are running about 6 years, but they originally set up in the Ukraine, and they've now obviously due to the challenges of war, et cetera, mm-hmm. moved their operations to the Netherlands. But they basically have produced this sort of unique polygad surface material made from 100% recycled plastic, which helps obviously brands make a more visible commitment to sustainability. So it was founded in 2018, and they now have created over 500 projects for more than 250 clients.
Wow.
Everything from Nike to Adidas, McDonald's. So really great to see a really successful Ukrainian company going global, essentially, and being really successful with it. So we're delighted to have their installation in the garden. I think it's going to be really, really eye-catching, really different.
Oh, it definitely will. And tell me a bit about the designer, because you've been working with Benny McGuinness, is it?
McGuinness,
yeah.
Yeah. So he's from Monaghan, actually, and he's a creative designer, heavily involved in multiple design disciplines. So gardening is just one of the things he does, but he's also involved in landscape, creative art and visual, from product and furniture design to realising concept installations for public spaces and company brands. So he's even done music festivals and stuff. He's just really, really creative. It's a lot more than just the garden piece that he does. But certainly we're delighted to have him doing our garden this year. And actually he produced the Minions garden last year for Universal Pictures.
Oh, that was fantastic. I saw that all over social media. It was brilliant.
Yeah, probably one of the more memorable gardens from Bloom 2022. But it was kind of very, very different. And there was a DJ on set for the whole 5 days.
Yes.
I can remember well. So it was very exciting. So in addition to our garden, we have a number of panel discussions and talks taking place over the 5 days, which is really exciting, kind of bring the garden alive for people visiting as well. So on Thursday, the 1st of June this week, is World Milk Day. So we always do a lot to highlight that. And we have a kind of a sports panel discussion with Rob Kearney, the ex-rugby international for Ireland, speaking with Emma Considine, who is also a very well-known female rugby player. And they're going to be chatting to Joe Malloy all around kind of what they've been doing, but also talking largely about the Rugby World Cup, which is on in September. And then on Friday, we have RTÉ's Captain Thomas, who will be emceeing a panel discussion all around the future of food with a number of interesting food people, including Dee Laffin, dietitian Sarah Keogh, and Grace Binchy from Bordia. And then on Saturday, we're focusing a lot on the weather and climate piece, just as it fits with our garden this year. We have a panel of weather experts,
yep,
including Martin King from Virgin Media and Joanna Donnelly from RTÉ and Met Aaron. So that's going to be a really exciting panel discussion. Then following that, we have a number of farmers and farmer advocacy experts taking part in various panel discussions, including from people from UCD Ag Science. And they'll be talking all around the science behind the grass and what farmers are doing all over Ireland to plant, you know, to farm more sustainably.
I think that's going to be really interesting for people,
yeah,
as well, because there has been a huge move and a huge shift among the farming community to kind of being putting an emphasis on sustainability.
Absolutely, Sinead. And like, there's amazing work. I think we always hear one side of the story, but
yes,
fantastic measures been carried out by farmers all over Ireland in tandem with a number of schemes that are run by Bordia and Chagask. So they are doing, you know, some fantastic stuff, really on a journey to lower emissions, which is just so important in terms of protecting Ireland's environment going forward and but keeping sustainable dairy production going in Ireland. So I think it's, yeah, there's some great stuff in terms. We're going to have some really interesting talks over the 5 days. It's going to be really exciting.
It definitely is. And like you say, that striking garden, I mean, I've only ever seen the imagery online and stuff from Bloom. I've never actually gone to it myself, but I do hear that it's just a really fantastic day out, even just for the family.
Yeah, there is. And besides, well, that's exactly it. So it's Bordia have their own site at Bloom 2023. So if you Google it, it'll come up, or
yep,
go through Bordia. But there is loads on. Like, besides the 20 show gardens, there's a huge amount of food, events, stages, theatres, live stuff happening. So it's a really, really good day out for the family, and loads of stuff for kids as well, as always. So yeah.
That's always
along.
A win. That's always a win. Yeah. Plus, we know that the weather's going to be quite
the
good,
amazing,
which is fantastic.
Yeah.
That's what we want. We don't want anyone having gardens wilting and all that sort of stuff. But
no,
there's also, oh,
it's
God, we don't, definitely don't want that.
Definitely don't want that. Yeah, no, it should be a great event, Sinead. We're very excited.
Well, it looks like this is going to be really interesting what you guys are doing for the festival, Cathy. I'll let you get back to it because you're no doubt so, so busy. But thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Sinead.
Thanks a million.
Thank you.
Bye, bye, bye. By Cathy Curran there, the Bordia Bloom Festival running from the 1st to the 5th. All those different events that the National Dairy Council are running, you can find them on their website as well. But you can find tickets on bordiabloom.com. Keane Duckrow, I'll be waiting. Today is paperclip day. Now, you might roll your eyes at that, but what if I told you that the paperclip had a connection, a very important connection to World War II. All that and more coming up in the North East Update. Plus, I've got music from Leanne Rimes.
The 11 to 1 Show.
With Gilmore's Mercedes-Benz Kings Court. Choose from our huge selection of used Mercedes-Benz vehicles. Gilmore's Mercedes-Benz Kings Court. The best in motoring, here for you.
The LMFM Drive.
With Buserin, make travel easier and download the TFI Go app. The TFI Go app allows you to buy tickets directly from your phone. To find out more, visit buserin.ie today.
Why, Rosie, what's wrong, Pat?
Oh, Lizzie, you're spending all the pension trying to hit the jackpot and win a few pounds to buy some hating oil.
Oh, Rosie, if it's a hating oil you're after, you'll be in with a chance of winning 500 worth of oil free through the VIP loyalty programme at Niall Clark Oils, and it's less than half nothing to enter.
I always wanted to be a VIP.
Get the VIP treatment with Niall Clark Oils. Order your home heating oil online today at nileclarkoils.com and get instant access to our new VIP loyalty programme. Niall Clark Oils. Hard to beat for your heat.
Don't put your boiler service on the back burner. This summer, Bord Gáis Energy is offering new and existing customers 20% off. It's never been easier to keep your home running efficiently. Simply book your boiler service online with our trusted and qualified engineers to get 20% off at boardgoshenergy.ie. Bord Gáis Energy. Imagine a better way. T's and C's apply. Subject to availability. Discount valid until 31st of July. Visit boardgoshenergy.ie for more.
The 11 to 1 show.
With Gilmore's Mercedes-Benz Kings Court. Choose from our huge selection of used Mercedes-Benz vehicles. Gilmore's Mercedes-Benz Kings Court. The best in motoring, here for you.
We're going back in time very shortly to the 1800s, and a fairly iconic sugary drink was created on this day. But first, time for some music. Here's Leanne Rimes.
It's your heart.
LMFM Northeast Update with Senator Windows. Senator Windows products will help you create a secure, comfortable, energy efficient home you're proud of. Call 0818 77 4455.
On this day in 1886, American pharmacist John Pemberton begins to advertise his patent medicine, Coca-Cola. Medicine, it started off as, in Atlanta in Georgia. And today is paperclip day. Now, the paperclip, as we know it, was most likely designed by a Norwegian inventor Johan Valer. Years later, though, during World War II, the paperclip was used as a symbol of the Norwegian resistance to Nazi German occupation. It was meant to show solidarity with others during those difficult times, so the clips were worn in the coat lapels. The Nazis saw this as a show of solidarity as a threat, and prohibited paperclips altogether, threatening people who dared wear them with severe punishment. So there you go, a lot more to meets the eye to the humble paperclip.
LMFM Northeast Update with Senator Windows. Creating the perfect home is a journey. Let us guide you. Visit our Drogheda, Dundalk and new Navan showrooms. Discover more at senatorwindows.ie.
There's Gavin James with Always on 11 to 1. News at 12 is approaching, but after that, she's not just an unfaithful wife. Many layers to James Joyce's iconic character, Molly Bloom, as we're going to find out with actress Aideen Maloney. We're going to meet her after 12.
The 11 to 1 show.
At the age of 81, Martha Stewart has done something quite bold. I'm going to tell you all about it after Ed Sheeran.
I will remember how you kissed me under the lamppost back on 6th Street, hearing you whisper through the phone, wait for me to come home.
There's Ed Sheeran with Photograph. Sinead Brazel here with you till one. They say a picture says a thousand words, and this picture definitely speaks volumes, because I think a lot of people were surprised by this. Martha Stewart has done something quite bold, and she says that she hopes that her appearance on the cover of Sports Illustrated in a swimsuit at the age of 81 inspires people to try new things, no matter what stage of life you are in. So the US businesswoman and TV personality is the oldest woman to be featured on the cover of the annual magazine, and, you know, Sports Illustrated is always, you know, let's be honest, young, lean, athletic looking bodies the majority of the time. So it's a big move for them. Now, the woman looks incredible, can we just say, at 81. Stunning. Stunning. I mean, you know, I don't know if I'd have the guts to do that at this age, never mind 81. But there you go. And she has obviously interview inside as well. And she says, I'm so thrilled to be on the cover of this swimsuit issue. And she says, my motto has always been, when you're through changing, you're through. So I thought, why not be up for this opportunity of a lifetime? I hope the cover inspires you to challenge yourself to try new things, no matter what stage of life you're in. Changing, evolving and being fearless. Those are all very good things indeed. And when I heard I was going to be on the cover, I thought, oh, that's pretty good. I'm going to be the oldest person ever on the magazine. And I don't think about age very much, but I thought that this is kind of historic. It really is. And apparently the article itself, the interview with her, is a lesson in ageless living. And I think it's really, really welcome change. And I know, like, there's been lots of different moves in the direction of, you know, showing different bodies at all different stages and different sizes and different shapes and things in the media. It's been embraced by some, not so much by others, but it's fantastic to see something like this, that is for sure. And a woman, she's fairly iconic, isn't she, Martha Stewart? And at 81, to be on the cover
of Sports Illustrated is quite inspiring indeed. Fair play to her. There's Phil Lynott, Old Town. Now, she's one of the most complex and highly intriguing characters from Irish literature, Molly Bloom. And there's going to be a new, daring, I'm going to say, theatrical production about Molly Bloom being brought to the stage this week by a very interesting lady. We're going to meet her very shortly. She's an award-winning actress. She's performed extensively in theatre, film, audio and TV in New York, London and Ireland. She's founder and producing artistic director of New York's Fallen Angel Theatre Company. And she is bringing this fantastic piece to the stage. It's Yes, Reflections of Molly Bloom. It's coming to Drogheda Arts Centre. We're going to meet actress Aideen Maloney just after these.
The 11 to 1 show.
One of the most complex and highly intriguing characters from Irish literature is reimagined in a daring theatrical production being brought to the stage this week. Yes, Reflections of Molly Bloom is a journey into the mind and heart of James Joyce's most sensual hero, Molly Bloom, devised and performed by renowned actress Aideen Maloney. This show has been described as an unforgettable affirmation of love and joy, and Aideen is bringing it to Drogheda Arts Centre in Drogheda this week, and I'm delighted she's on the line with me now. Aideen, you're very welcome to 11 to 1. How are you?
Hi, how are you? Oh, I'm delighted to be talking to you. Absolutely thrilled.
Thrilled myself here. Now, I have to clear something up, right? Because I saw something this morning, and this has to be a rumour or something, Aideen, but I read that you started reading the most intimidating book in literature, James Joyce's Ulysses, at the tender age of 10.
I did. I'm an awful ages.
How really did you get your hands on this at the age of 10? Well, actually, I know how you got your hands on this. You came from such a cultural background with both parents. No doubt prized this into your hands at that age.
Hardly. No, not at all. We didn't have a television. You know, it was early days for my father and the Chieftains, and we just didn't have TV or, you know, added expenses, you know, in the home. But we were avid readers. My mother encouraged us greatly, you know, when my dad was away on tour. And I ran out of books. Literally, I ran out of children's books. I had nothing to read. And I was like, you know, I used to raid the shelves or whatever I could find. And I found this old dusty copy of a book with a name that I couldn't pronounce. But so I started reading it. And so as a child, I still do this. Maybe it's the actress in me or the drama in me. I like to read out loud.
Yes.
And of course, Joyce wrote this to be read out loud, in my opinion. Mm. And it's like a piece of music. So the rhythms and the flow of it just come off the tongue really easily. And I was reading it out loud in my room, and it was like, oh my God, I know some of these characters, you know, and I could see them dancing around me. And it was just, and I loved the thrill that he was breaking all the rules of grammar.
Yes.
He broke all the rules. And of course, being, you know, I was in school at the Sisters of Charity there in Milltown in St. Anne's in Dublin. And, you know, this was breaking all the rules. And I was like, and of course, there were dirty bits.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh my God.
Definitely not suitable for, you know, nice young, you know, nice girls. Do you know what I mean?
No.
Definitely not. No, and you just, like, I'm thinking back, I studied this in university and I still didn't finish it. And I've admitted that openly now on radio. I still haven't finished it. But, you know, obviously you were completely captivated by it. But it is, as you say, There is so much to unpack in it. I mean, you can read and reread and reread passages of it. It is, you know, obviously it is one of the greatest books written of all time, and, you know, by Joyce. But you know, I can see that this idea of bringing Molly Bloom to life in a new way is such an interesting idea, because look, you know, in the book we only see her through the eyes of men. That's the first thing.
That's it.
So is
Bingo.
This kind of why? Is this why
Bingo.
You want to, yeah.
Yeah, hit the nail on the head. You know, we just subconsciously have absorbed an interpretation That I think is very, I personally think it's very much a male interpretation, a traditional interpretation. I don't see it that way. And maybe it's because I read it when I was, you know, very young. And children don't question things. They just absorb and let it flow through. And I think that's what the goal that Joyce had. So I see it very differently. I see it as a maze of veins and arteries of a story that he's really trying to tell. And so, you know, it took me 20 years to unearth a through line or the main artery of the story I'm trying to tell with reflections of Molly Bloom. And so it's an extraordinary book, and I really see her as, you know, I don't actually see her as male or female.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
No, I don't. I think he has used the metaphor as as a woman.
Yes.
In the dark. What happens in the middle of the night? It's the most fragile time of our existence, of life. And we are waiting for the sun to rise again. We are waiting for a new dawn or springtime. I see her as she is life. She is the yes that begins and ends the piece. It's the first breath when we come into this world. It's a gasp of yes.
Yes.
and when we go out of this world, we are gasping for yes, I want to hold on to life. Life is precious. It is, and the entire piece is a celebration of life, the ugly side and the beautiful side, as we all are, you know, as human
totally.
Beings. Nothing is, you know, is pure or it's not black and white. It's complex. And I think it's beautifully written. And I see her as Earth, wondering, traveling, trying to reconnect with the springtime, trying to find purpose, because she is a woman at the crossroads of her life.
Oh, totally. And she's looking at everything going backwards as well. I want to go into that in a second, but coming back to the word yes, because the word yes was really important to Joyce. And he saw that as being quite a feminine word, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. He did indeed. But I think people say, the Molly Bloom is certainly shaped around his wife, Nora Barnacle.
Yes, a lot of people say that. Yeah.
And I do agree with that to a certain extent. There is definitely a woman in there. But I also, and dare I say it, I think it's him.
Right.
And why not put that, I think it's him as well.
Because a lot of people think Bloom is him, which it is, massively.
I think all of it is. But
yeah.
I think these are all, I think she, when they refer, I just see the book as a slightly different, in a different perspective, in a bigger picture.
Yeah.
That he has used as in, real characters, real people, that we can identify with. But I think, when in all references to Molly Bloom, to Molly, I believe she is life. I believe he is referring to life itself, to Ireland itself.
Oh, that's really interesting. Oh, I've seen her now in a totally different way now, because she, as we said at the start, as well, she's very much dismissed an awful lot of the time. It's an interesting when you Google her, which I haven't done in so long, but I Googled her this morning, and the rabbit hole that you can fall down in terms of analytical essays and all this sort of stuff. Uh-huh. But they do sort of dismiss her as the unfaithful wife, which of course, okay, there's aspects of that, but like you say, there's so many different layers to her, and I love that you brought it back to just an essence of Irishness, Ireland, Earth, maybe goddess, all that sort of stuff.
Well, she needs to procreate, she needs a new springtime, and I don't think any of it is about the love that we traditionally associate with between couples, between a partner of your choice. I don't actually see it like that. I see it as the affair that she is having is that she needs to have, she is nature. She is life. She is this earth. She needs the yin and the yang. She needs the male.
Yes.
And I actually think that that's what the affair is about. And she's, you know, dreadfully lonely.
So lonely, because he's off gallivanting. He's gallivanting.
He's off having millions of affairs with painted women.
Yeah, yeah, he is.
And God only knows who else. And she's a very lonely woman. She has lost her son, her child, her baby, and she needs to have another child. She needs to, and, you know, her time is waning. Her life is waning. She's not a young girl. And her fertility is waning.
Yes.
And you know, it's a desperateness. So I see it as a bigger picture. And she seeks to reanimate that love with her husband. But in doing so, she discovers herself, and that she is the female. She is the male and the female, that she is bigger than all of that, that she is life.
And, you know, just to remind people maybe as well, and people who've read this or people maybe who haven't, but Molly really, like, her soliloquy at the end is probably the only sort of part that you really kind of get the essence of who she is. Because like we say, she's been spoken about sort of throughout the book. And then this is a big chunk that is kind of, I suppose, the starting point for you, Aideen, in terms of creating some of this. But, you know, she seems to kind of only connect with Leopold through the past, and you get the sense that she's given up so much for him, you know, a career, you know, her talent, all of that.
Correct. I mean, it's a very contemporary piece. It's very relevant. It is relevant. She is a human being, or she is, you know, a woman who needs to find purpose, and she doesn't have purpose. And it's he has set it on purpose and at a very strange time, you know. It's the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And of course, what do women do? Women of a certain age whose fertility is waning is they pace the floor. They they are up all night.
Yeah.
My Molly Bloom is not in the bed.
Right.
My Molly Bloom is on her feet. It's within her mind. I've taken it out of the bed, and we go it much deeper. It's very physical. It's a bit more modern. It's more abstract in that we really go into her mind, and what, you know, we see her physicalize what she is feeling.
And I'd imagine it must be so challenging, because this is a one woman show, obviously, and as you say, quite physical. Is it challenging because you're on stage alone for such a lengthy period?
Yes, it is challenging, and you know, the energy has got to be kept up. You have to keep your audience engaged and captured, and on this journey that Molly is on. And thankfully, you know, I've been doing it now for, you know, since 2019, and you know, in America, and so I know what it takes. And, you know, the strength, you know, vocally and physically, to be able to weave this story and take an audience on this journey. And in particular, women absolutely go mad for this. And I'm so thrilled. I mean, it's like...
Oh, totally. Because when I saw even the introduction for this, or the little blurb, I was like, I needed to find out more about it, because... Like you say,
and you don't have to have any knowledge of Joyce
or
any like of it. This is something. This is women of a certain age really like go, oh my God, yes,
because it's like you say, it's themes that we can totally connect to. You know, people. Yeah. You know, like a lot of women will have, you know, various times in their life. I'm going to say this idea of a crisis of who am I? What is my purpose? You know, who am I here for? And how can I come back to myself, which I think is a big thing, because, you know, particularly when women start having children, particularly there's a loss kind of identity there, you know, demands of your work life. There's, you know, aspects of yourself are lost there, you know, and you sort of have to try and remind yourself, well, who am I and what am I doing here?
Yeah, exactly. And it's no different for women in, you know, in when this was published in the, you know, in 1920s, you know, to now, you know, there's no difference. We are still beings. Maybe the scenario is a little slightly different. But we are still, it doesn't matter how liberated a woman you are, or even if you're a woman who are in, you know, in late 60s, early 70s, 80s, 90s, you will identify with this woman,
yeah,
and say, I get what she's after, you know. And it's a roller coaster ride of emotions. I don't shy away from the tragedy,
yeah,
of Molly Bloom, which, you know, traditionally has been shied away from. It's very a sexual piece. I don't see it as that, like that. And I don't portray it. Not that I shy away from the sexuality of it, but it's a little bigger.
Yes, it's not just the soul focus. Yes, I understand. Yes. And the music, we have to talk about the music because this was written by your brilliant late father, Paddy Maloney of the Chieftains. I mean, how did this collaboration come about? And what a lovely way to have him involved now in this.
Oh, God, yeah. It's unbelievable. I you know, and I'm so glad I did it. You know, we'd never collaborated. And of course, you know, whenever I hear my father's music, over, you know, since I was a child, or hear him play live, it's almost too much for me emotionally, because it's like hearing a piece of myself. And even when I was a child and all the way, you know, as an adult, I mean, I obviously went to every concert I could and everything I could, but it was, oh my God, the emotions that just, you know, bubble up in me and overwhelm me. So you know, I had to do it. And I always felt that, you know, it started off, I was doing a full audio version of the unabridged text for iTunes. And we released that album together. But, you know, Joyce wrote the piece without punctuation, as you know, the monologue.
Yes.
And, you know, which is 3 to 4 hours long. And it's written in 7 sentences. And I thought, well, why doesn't he have no sentences? Just why does he have 7? So I always felt that, you know, well, use your imagination, Aideen. Perhaps she's drifting away into sleep, or perhaps she's drifting into her subconscious.
Yes.
Her subconscious is taking over. And what is that? That is what's niggling her. That's what she doesn't know much of, and what she's trying to search for and connect with, which is her mother line, her maternal line. Which is, you know, I need my mother. I need my identity. Who am I?
Yes.
And Molly is only half Irish. She's half, she was born in Gibraltar.
Oh, sure, of course, yes. And she's kind of exoticized a little bit too. Yes, yes.
Her mother was, her mother's name was Lunita, which is little moon, Lunita Laredo. And, but it's also an old Portuguese Jewish family name. So there's all sorts of like connotations and hints to, and of course her obsession with Spain and her passion, and I have my mother's eyes and figure anyhow, and you know, so she's searching for that. So I asked my father to work with me and create music, and to, you know, not to steer too far away from the Joycean music as well. And to sort of bring a little of that into it. So we had music between each of the sentences, and the 7 sentences, and they were like overwhelming her. They, you know, they came through loud and clear. And so obviously from that, then we worked on, we had to minimize the music a little for the play, because we didn't want to be heavy handed with things. And
well, you see the different mediums. I understand the audio, it'll work. Yeah, it'll work so much differently. Yeah.
So the music, it, you know, there's one piece in particular. There's a song that Molly Bloom sings as a girl, and the snippets of it all the way through. And she's always referring to her first love.
Yes.
She says it's only the first time. After that, it's just the ordinary. Do it and think no more about it. And it's her first love. And she blends the two of them together, her and him, Mulvey, and Bloom. And both are set on a cliff on a hike, you know, both are overlooking the sea, the Howth Head and the Rock of Gibraltar. So there's all these comparisons and connections. So I asked my father to record a little bit of this song called In Old Madrid, and it on the whistle. And I said, I don't want anything complex about it. It's a young girl. It should be pure and really, you know, unlayered with you know, anything else. And so that's in the piece, that's in the play. And of course, every time I go on stage, not only do I hear my father's mm-hmm. music, but I hear him breathing in. I hear him taking his breath.
Oh, isn't that lovely? Isn't that lovely to have? But again, it must be because, you know, his passing was just, what, 2021, so recent. Right. So that has to be affecting. But no doubt, adding to the performance from yourself as well. I think it's astounding what you've managed to do with this, Aidy, and I wish you all the best with this coming to Drogheda. And you're going to be doing a workshop as well afterwards.
We're going to be doing a questions and answers.
Oh, fantastic.
And, you know, a little chat with the audience. And sure, you never know. We might invite them all up on stage.
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows? Well, listen, thank you so much for joining me and having such an interesting chat. And the best of luck with this on Thursday.
Thanks very much. I can't wait to get to Drogheda.
Thank you so much. Aideen Maloney there. Oh, she's fantastic. Drogheda.com. That's where you're going to find all the details of it. It's called Yes, Reflections of Molly Bloom.
L-M-F-M. The 11 to 1 Show.
LMFM Job Search with Local Heroes. Backed by Bord Gáis Energy. Replace your old inefficient gas boiler with Local Heroes. Visit localheroes.ie.
Just one job on the job search today. RD Coach Trim are seeking qualified motor mechanics to join their expanding team based in RD County Louth. This position will give the right candidate the unique opportunity to be trained in HGV mechanics. If you'd like to apply, please do so by email hor@rdcoachtrim.com, and you can see all the details of our jobs on the local job section on lmfm.ie.
LMFM Job Search.
Miley Cyrus there with the flowers. Going to take a quick break, but we're back with music from Dermot Kennedy.
L-M-F-M. The 11 to 1 Show.
Together for Hospice, the national hospice movement is returning, and it's the 33rd year of this, with 19 hospices around the country taking part. There's going to be a street collection on Friday the 9th of June and Saturday the 10th, and this year's campaign was launched. The Hospice Sunflowers Days ambassador, the wonderful Mary Kennedy, was launched the whole thing, and as well as the on-street collection, by the way, there's once again an opportunity for the public to support their chosen hospice or home care service online. So there's a virtual sunflower garden, and it's going to be open until the end of June. So you can sponsor a virtual sunflower in memory of a loved one, and that's on sunflowerdays.ie. And of course, every euro raised locally stays locally as well, and supporters donating online will be able to select which hospice you wish to support. So that's really good as well. As people will know, hospice and specialist palliative home care services throughout the country provide free of charge care and support to those living with a life-limiting illness, and also offer assistance to the patient's family members as well. So this is a really important campaign that happens every single year. So the 9th and the 10th of June, and you can find more details sunflowerdays.ie. Mr. Dermot Kennedy with Outnumbered. We are almost out of time, but I can tell you, tomorrow on the show, we're going to be talking about a very interesting thing. It's happening on the 25th of June. It's the Street Feast. So it's an annual day of street parties. We used to have these all the time when I was growing up. The street party, you know, when you get together with the neighbours. And I think we've lost a little bit of that. So we're going to be chatting about that on tomorrow's show, how you can get together with your neighbours and enjoy some conversation and share some food. So that's coming up tomorrow. That is my lot for today. Thank you so much for all of the birthday messages. I'm off now to stuff me face with cake, and I'll chat to you tomorrow.
L-M-F-M. The 11 to 1 Show. L-M-F-M.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.